Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Praise your name. Praise your name. Oh, it's good, eh? To sing psalms. And I got some comments back there on my phone. Yes, I have it on in case anything happens. But Chad, just so you know, and gang, good comments, good songs. But yeah, it's good to be together because we aren't apart, maybe physically, body-wise, but we still get to gather together, and that's awesome. I love this. I love that technology has afforded this for us. And I love to be together in the room right now. I get the benefit of a few other people and get to hang out, so it's exciting. And I hope you all enjoyed the snow this morning when you woke up and all that, you know, real heavy, deep snow. It was just awesome. I know you're thrilled. But I wanted to just mention a few things this morning. And if you don't mind if I just sort of ramble as a pastor a little bit, I'll tie it all in, of course. But I just wanted to say, you know, we can't let anything throw us off in our faith. You know, through this season, this last song was great because we know that no matter what's going on in our lives personally or in our home or as a church or as a province, you know, as a country, as a world, no matter what's going on, God is still sovereign. God is still in control, and he sees you in the midst of it all, and he sees me, and he is a God of relationship. He hasn't forgotten us, forsaken us, and we need to remember that and keep that close to us. This is not a time to be in despair or to lessen our faith. This is a season and a time to have joy in God and have peace in our hearts and in our minds, to be able to just be calm and to really experience God in all his fullness and greatness. That's what I believe is the perfect opportunity right now to grow in our lives, in our relationship with God, and especially to watch out for each other and not to forget each other, but to reach out to each other more and more through these days. You've already heard we're going to be in this format for at least most of March, and we'll see what happens in the next while. But God is good. And God is good all the time, no matter what's going on. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this, "In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." And the best way for you and I to lead our lives right now is to be full of praise for God and to be full of thanksgiving, to continually just offer to God praise and thanksgiving in our lives. You see, in this world, this will never change. The one thing that is the constant is that you and I in the faith are going to wrestle against flesh, not flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. There is a devil. There is his fallen angels. And they are at work wreaking havoc in this world and on your life and my life of faith. They want to discourage us, separate us, keep us from growing close to God and close to each other. But we will not allow them to do it. We will stay steadfast. We will stay firm. We will be committed to our faith. We will be committed to our God, and we will be committed to each other. So I want to encourage you with that, because there's a lot out in our world right now on the news and online and even just, you know, verbally, mouth to mouth. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there, a lot of news, a lot of debates, a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of stuff you have to process, and it can really distract us. It can cause us to stir up fear in our lives, to be anxious, to be confused, and it can, even if we will let it, cause disunity in the church worldwide. It will cause disunity if we allow it to. But when we concentrate our lives on Christ, when we draw close to him, when we keep our eyes on him, when we keep our face forward in our faith, and we run the race with endurance, then we will have the peace, the wisdom, the strength, the power, and the calmness that God's Spirit brings to our lives. Can I hear an amen out there? there are amens in here. I can't hear you out there quite. Steve, can I hear it? Okay, I heard that now from College Heights. You know, God has not given us, his word says, a spirit of fear. God has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, God has given us the tools by his spirit in our lives to stand steadfast and to be strong and to be in this world salt and light and peace and joy and examples of Christ and examples of the life that he brings into us, this abundant life. We are those examples in the world right now, and we need to be those examples in this day and age. You know, it's not that we're able to gather in person like we always used to for years. You know, we can't do that necessarily right now, and it's maybe not the ideal as far as we know, depending on God's will for us right now, but it's not the end of the world. You know, it's not like, you know, our faith all of a sudden it's over. You know, that's not the case. We are just a part of a larger community in Prince George and in British Columbia and Canada. We're a part of that community. Even as Christians, even though we're not of this world, we are living as a community with others around us. There's current closures that are going on that have caused a little bit of feedback lately and some things in the news, and I thought I would respond just a bit to it today. I know I might stir up some stuff, but I'm just going to briefly ramble as your pastor and just tell you how I feel so you don't have to wonder where I stand necessarily in the midst of it all. Now, I'm not going to throw stones at anybody for the decisions they make for God. I'll use an example today of the pastor in Alberta that has currently is in jail. You know, and most people feel it's because of you know, that he's preaching or opening up in the gospel. But I just need you to remember a few facts today that stand out in this decision. He is currently in jail because his conviction is that he is obeying God rather than man. That's his personal conviction. I will not, you know, I'm not going to trash him for that because that's how he feels. That's how he's working this process out. And so I pray for him that God will be with him and God will help him and guide him in wisdom. And make it no, I don't want to make any bones about it. I don't really want another pastor, you know, co-pastor in jail. It's not my you know, bucket list top 10. But I want to just respond to that because it's caused confusion. And there are people who figure we should open and other churches we should all open. And so let me just say this. Why is he in jail? Number one, he was arrested or he gave himself up when the warrant was out. Was it for the gospel or was it for defying a public health order? I would say it was because of the defiance of the health, the order that's in place in Alberta. Did you know that in Alberta, they have never closed the church doors fully like in British Columbia? Do you know that even today, that they are allowed 15% of their fire regulations of occupancy in a building? They have, this is the lowest they've been in all of this year. They've generally been up in the 50 or 30%. And so right now, they could actually have 15% of occupancy in their building right now, rather than just allowing everybody to come and letting all else go, you know, just go wild. So they have the opportunity for other things like multiple services, you know, rotating people in and out. So it's important that you know that. And it's important you know also that in the court, he's only in jail still because he will not adhere to the bail conditions. The bail conditions state that he can't have public services until the court case is heard, which is in mid to late March. So they're asking him, if we let you out, then don't hold services until that time. So he has decided personally, he has made a choice that he can't honor God with that. And so he remains in prison partly because of his own choice and decision that he feels he would be lacking in honor of God. I am not going to argue that with him. If that's what he feels, then I'm not here to tell you it's wrong for him. But what I'm telling you is that for me as your pastor and as the leaders in this church, that we believe that we should honor the health order in British Columbia, that we would be honoring God by honoring the health order. I believe that God has not necessarily told us we have to, as Hebrews says, and this is one of the verses they use, is that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Well, I believe that very strongly. But if you look at the context of why it was written in that day and age, it was written because the church, and it was written to the church, because the church was in the midst of people gathering, there were those around them that were being lazy and not adhering to the disciplines of the community faith structure that was in place. And so I believe that we can put that aside because we are assembling together, that we are, through technology, allowed to assemble together. We are allowed to pick up the phone. The last thing I remember, we were allowed to pick up the phone and talk to each other, encourage each other in the faith, be always blessing one another and helping each other. So let me just put it this way. I don't think that the church necessarily, and hear me, I don't think that Bonnie Henry is targeting the church. I don't think we're the only ones that can't meet together. I believe there are others. I also believe that the last time I checked, that not only can the Christians not have anybody else in their home, nobody's allowed to have anybody in their home under this order. So it's across the board. Everyone has to live that way. So it's, to me, it's not quite over the bar that we would think about when we think about persecution. Persecution, to me, if you look in the New Testament, it was because of the gospel that was being preached. In the life today, if you look around the world, you know, the amount of persecution in other countries, one example, Syria. If you look at the persecution in Syria, you can't equate that to us not being in a church building. It to me, does a dishonor to those that are literally putting their life on the line because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, this is an inconvenience, but I don't think the bar's been crossed yet. The line's been crossed. If they tell me I can't preach the gospel, then I will stand up and preach the gospel. If they tell me I can't go into my neighbor and talk about Jesus, then I will go to my neighbor and I will talk about Jesus. If it's about the gospel, it's about Jesus Christ, it's about the faith, then I will cross that line. But until that line is there, I don't think I need to cross the line at this particular point. Now, do I believe this is all a part of a greater picture for the future? Absolutely. 100%. All the things that are happening in our world today, not just the pandemic, but everything else, all these things that are taking place are leading towards the revelation type stuff that we read about and we hear about. It's all a part of it. I know that. I get that. And I believe that even all this stuff going on right now with not gathering, and I also believe in the vaccine stuff, I just believe in the masks. I believe all of it is a precursor. It's part, it's a step towards bigger things that the world is going to face and that Christians will face. I hope you hear my heart. I just want you to know that there's a purpose for me wanting to honor the health order, because I do care about my neighbors, and I don't want my neighbors to think for a moment I don't care about them. But when I present the gospel to them, I want to be able to do that without this obstacle of them saying, you didn't care about my physical well-being, because I do. Is that good? Are you okay with that today? I can't hear an amen in the building. They're all in shock. But folks, we just need to make sure that we are careful. Two things that are so important for me are this, in all of this. One is, you know, how am I representing the gospel? And how am I representing Jesus at this time? Am I honoring the gospel in my life personally in this day and age? Am I being the light? I believe that's a question that we all need to answer and wrestle with, that we need to figure out what does honor God and how I can live my life to please Him and to be a witness for Him. And the second thing I think we need to be concerned about is God calling us as a church to repentance? You know, is God calling us to reconsider where our faith is and how we've been living as a church, you know, in North America? Is God calling us at this time to repent of our ways and maybe our complacency in the gospel? And maybe He's asking us to be changing and be different and to live lives outside of these walls of this building that honor Him and glorify Him and present the gospel in a true and a powerful and a living way. I believe God has great plans for the church. that God has great plans for your life and for my life, that God wants to use our lives to bring those that need to know about his love to the kingdom of God. I believe that all of the things that we're going through now are even helping shape the kingdom of God to greater measures, to greater impact in the world ahead. You know that little phrase that I drive everybody nuts with, I'm sure by now? That phrase, raise the bar. I believe this is the time for the church, for each individual of faith, to raise the bar of their life. Raise the bar in relationship to God, being closer. Raise the bar to letting God use our lives for the gospel. And raise the bar towards each other, that we would be more impactful in each other's lives, and that we would honor God by honoring one another in our lives. You know, Psalm 34, 8, and we sang it at the beginning here. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. You know that comedian Tim Hawkins on, get him online a lot, but Christian comedian, he tells the story of being in a large church concert, and this large church concert had gone extremely well that night as far as he could tell. And he had gone to the foyer of the church, and he was going to sign, you know, like they were selling the discs and stuff of his stuff, his T-shirts. And so he was going to sign some autographs. There was a long lineup. The first lady comes in, and she's talking to him, and she goes, could you sign, you know, when you sign your name, could you just put your favorite, you know, scripture verse down? And so Tim's thinking, well, my favorite scripture is, you know, Psalm 34, 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. But all of a sudden, to his horror, he blanks. He goes blank. He doesn't remember where the text was or what it was found. He knew it was a psalm, but that's it. And so he's thinking to himself, what am I going to do? So he basically decides, well, I'm going to, Psalm 38, 7. And he writes it down. You know, it says, you know, Tim Hawkins, Psalm 38, 7. He says, it's got to be a good verse. And so he goes ahead and he goes through and he signs every one of the autographs that night, Psalm 38, verse 7. And so he's going home and he's driving home. And the realization comes to him, taste and see that the Lord is good, Psalm 34, 8. And he's in horror. And he's like, God, I sure hope Psalm 38, 7 is a good verse. He gets home and he, of course, gets his Bible and he looks it up right away. And to his horror, this is Psalm 38, 7. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease and there's no soundness in my flesh. Oh, boy. Can you imagine? You know, the verb taste, you know, which in the Old Testament was commonly used in the literal sense, you know, that, you know, tasting something with your mouth. It's a metaphor of personal experience. You know, the New Testament uses it more widely. In Hebrews 2:9, it says that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. So talking about Jesus, you know, he might taste death for everyone. But the call to taste is a call to test. You know, we're not just sort of to believe in God's goodness, you know, like I know God is good in my mind, but we are called to experience that goodness. We are called to not just know about God or to know about the things of God, but to actually experience them, to taste them, to test them, to know that they're good. It's like, you know, when you go to Costco, and some of our ladies actually work in Costco in those demonstrations. And right now, of course, we're not allowed to taste anything. But they would often, you know, I'd go and visit them. And, you know, that way I could get maybe two portions of what they were, you know, tasting. But the point is, they want you to taste the product so that you can actually see if it's good. And then you'll want to buy it. And the same with the old Coke and Pepsi taste test. You know, there's a blindfold, here's two cups, you taste them both. Which do you like better, Coke or Pepsi? You pick out and find out. You know, tasting is something you've got to actually taste something to know what it tastes like. And God has invited us to know him, to experience him, to go deeper into him. And tasting should never be more than a casual sampling like you would just do in Costco, you know, take a little test. you know, don't like it, not like, yeah, it's good, maybe I'll buy it. God wants us to experience him in his fullness. You know, he wants us to jump in. You know, I was in the ocean in Florida with some friends of mine. And the one night we got there, the first time I was in Florida with them, we went to the water, and the water wasn't exactly, it's ocean. It wasn't exactly warm bath water at the moment when I first put my foot in. I've always been that kind of a person, you know, when I put my foot in a lake or in the ocean, you know, I don't just all of a sudden run in and dive in like some people. I'm not a polar bear swimmer guy. So I put my feet in, I let my ankles get used to it, and then I walk in a little deeper, you know, and get the thing, and then I'll take some water and maybe put it on my legs, and then get some water and splash it on me very lightly on here, you know, try to make it so the shock's not so much when I get in. But you know, God has invited you and I. And yeah, there are things in our life and growth in him that we take, you know, we put our foot in, we put our toe in, we want to test and see. You know, and then yeah, you know, God has actually been good. And then we want to go a little deeper and a little bit more deeper. You know, that's what God has called us to. That's what faith is about. It's tasting and seeing that God is good. And then not just settling for that little bit we have, but diving all the way in. You know, God promised us in Deuteronomy 4:29, you know, if we will seek the Lord our God, we're going to find him. If we search with him, with all our heart and all our soul. You know, it says in the New Testament, Jesus said to love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, your strength. You know, he said in Proverbs 8:17, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. God's not hiding. If we taste and we see and we grow, God will more and more become more pleasing and tasteful and loving towards us. Proverbs or Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Christians, get to know him more. Learn more. You know, we've had some great messages. Tiffany did a couple of fantastic messages in the last while, you know, about the Word of God. And the gratitude and just allowing these things to build up in our lives so we get to know God more and we get more in love with God and we appreciate him more and we understand more and we just draw closer more and more and more. We go deeper into that relationship. We grow in our faith. It's time for the church. It's time for you. It's time for me to step up to the smorgasbord. You know, just picture this big banquet table and all the different types of foods. In my case, I'd be drawn towards the dessert side and all those amazing desserts. And you get this buffet, and unfortunately, some of us will sample at the table, but then we'll sort of walk away and we won't try it all. And I don't mean all at once. That could be a problem. You know, it's time to look at it. And it's no time for us to have a spiritual diet. It's no time to cut back on faith. It's time to lean into the banqueting table and taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. How happy is the man who takes refuge in him. How content is the man who takes refuge in him. If you're out there today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you've heard about God or if you're here today, obviously you've got some connection to the church and to the experience of the faith and you maybe know about God, but you've never actually understood that God loves you and that we've all sinned and we separated from God and that Jesus came down, God's gift to us, that he would die on that cross and shed his blood to take our punishment and sin upon himself so that our sin would be forgiven. And we can believe that with all our heart and we can confess our sin to him and have him forgive us of our sin. And we can walk with God and learn more and more about him through our lives and that we will have eternal life with him after this life, whether we die physically or he returns for us. Maybe you've never come to that place of decision. Can I say to you today, what have you got to lose? God is inviting you. He's inviting you to taste and to see that he is real, that he is good, that he does care about you, that he has died for your sin, and that he will give you eternal life. Taste and see. The decision, the choice is yours. Whether let's put it this way, if you never put your foot into taking a chance on God, you'll never get God. But if you take a chance today even and put your foot in or your toes in and say, okay, God, I don't understand about this faith thing. I don't know about Jesus and the forgiveness of sin and all that. But I am going to take the risk today and I'm going to step towards you and I'm going to say, God, if you do, if you are real, if you dare care about my life and you do want me to ask forgiveness of my sin, then would you open up my understanding? Would you show me? It's not going to hurt to take a step just to say to God, if you're real, come into my life. In my kitchen at home, I'd stand in the kitchen and look at the cupboards, look at the fridge, and I'm hungry. And I stand there and I'm like, boy, I'm hungry, and I really need some food, and yet I won't go and open up a cupboard to look and see what's there, or I won't open the fridge, you know, to see the food that's in the fridge. If I just leave them all closed and do nothing about it, I'm going to starve to death. But if I go to the cupboard and open it and open the fridge and I see there is good stuff there and I take it out and I make it and I eat, I'll be filled. And I would say to us as Christians, let's open the cupboards, let's open the fridge, and let's see what all that God has for us. And for those of you that have never accepted Christ, why not take the risk of opening up a door and just taking a look inside? God says if you'll draw near to him, he will draw near to you. Taste and see. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Are you encouraged with that today? I hope so. Because God loves each of you and he cares about you. And he's calling to us to come closer to him. You see, I believe in this day and age, in this whole situation that's going on, that's what God wants most. He wants to have a relationship close with us. This is the perfect time for us to continually prosper in our disciplines towards getting to know him, opening up the Word of God, just praying conversationally with God, thinking about him through the day, and encouraging yourself in him, and then encouraging each other in the Lord. We've got technology here. God set it up perfectly. We can gather this way. We can pick up the phone. You know, there's so much we can do. We're creative people. We're pretty good at it. So I would encourage you to at least have one or two other people in our church where you have a kind of a triad and you continually watch out for each other and pray with each other. God is good. And no matter what's going to happen in the days ahead, we know and we sung that God is with us. Amen? Amen. Chad, I'll get you and the gang here to come up. We're going to just take a moment and not rush through this ending part. But we're going to sing a couple of songs, and I want to take some time just to pray for a moment. And my heart is truly towards you. But I also want to take the time to one of the things that I didn't talk about today is just that what really grieved my spirit. You know, I do keep tabs on the news a little bit, then turn it off just to see what's going on. What grieved my heart this week, I don't know if it was Wednesday, Friday, somewhere at the end, but they were doing a report on Bonnie Henry, and the reason for the report was the emails, the critical emails, the death threats, the stuff that's being thrown her way. And I was grieved in my spirit because I'm thinking, you know, yeah, it's okay to throw stones, I guess, for people, but not for the church. The church should be praying for her and praying God's will into this whole situation. And we, let's be honest, we don't do it enough. Now, I'm not trashing all of you. I know some of you are doing it daily. So please hear my heart. But, we ought to be investing in prayer and asking God for their wisdom and for protection. So I'd like to begin today, and I'd like to just pray for Bonnie Henry. And then I'm going to ask Chad and them to lead a song. And I would like to have us, just for a couple of minutes here this morning, let's just pause. Let's just be still before the Lord. And would you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you personally? And just to hear his voice in his heart. And allow the Holy Spirit to invite you to taste and see his goodness today. It's not about us. Let's just take a moment and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and allow us to taste his goodness. So God, I pray for every person on the live stream today and every person who will, during this week, log in and watch it on our webpage. And God, I pray that your Spirit would speak and that, God, you would just humble us before you and we would be able to experience your goodness. We would taste and see your goodness, God, this morning and throughout this next week, God, and we would experience you in this season of life. We would see things we've never seen before. We would know things that we've never known before. Oh, God, we need you. And I do pray today, God, for Bonnie Henry. I do pray, God, that you would protect her and her family. I pray, God, you would put a banner of protection over them, that you'd put your mark on them, God, so that no harm can befall them. I pray that you would strengthen her. You would fill her with peace, God, that you would allow her to sleep at night and get the rest she needs. And I pray, God, that when she is governing this health order, that, God, you would give her wisdom to see, to understand, to know what to do, God, because it must be pretty hard right now. So, God, I pray that you would just strengthen her life and give her, God, your purpose and your will, God, through her decisions and actions. But, God, we bless her today in your name. Pray for all our government officials, God. And I pray, God, too, for this pastor in Alberta, and I thank you, God, for his conviction. I pray that you would just guide his life, give him your wisdom, your understanding in this difficult time. God, be with his family, be with the church family, God. And for all the pastors and board members and leaders across, God, British Columbia and our country, give us wisdom to know how to walk this out and to govern this well. Give us wisdom, God, because we certainly need to hear from you. At the end of the day, Jesus, we want to honor you. We want to honor you in everything we do and how we live, God. Be glorified, God, we pray. And Jesus, we just allow your Spirit now. Holy Spirit, come minister to us in these next few moments. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're just going to continue a little longer, one more song. But I just wanted to sort of end on this one note that you and I can still approach an all-present God. That'll never change. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we can approach God at any time. That's what grace has done. So enjoy the Lord in your life and taste and see that he is good. And just be blessed. And let the Holy Spirit fill your life with joy and peace and goodness. Oh, God, you are good. You are wonderful, God. We bless, we honor you. We praise your name. We glory in your name, God. We exalt your name. You have been good to us, God, and you are always good. You never forsake us, God. And you walk with us, God. And so in Jesus' name, I bless every person. That they be filled with your Spirit, God. That they be aware, God, of your presence and your power in their life more and more, God. Oh, Jesus, thank you that you're with us. You're with us, God. You're with us. You're with us, God. Oh, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. The Lord is good.